Lord God, as we come to you to open your word and to hear from your revelation to us, I pray, Lord Jesus, that my heart will be tender and that my words will be true to your word. Amen. Ephesians 5:20, a couple words that jump out at me when I read that. Always, for everything. And I can't tell you how many sermons I've heard in my lifetime that try to explain to me why always doesn't mean all the time and everything doesn't mean everything. We can rationalize and come up with ways that Scripture doesn't really mean what it says. And I don't want to do that. I think I can go to the point where it's like I don't understand how I can always in everything do what this verse is asking me to do. But I can't redefine these words. So last week and this week put together, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know that as a child I was taught to pray in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's a reason that we can complete a prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, let it be so. Or, you know, there's only one entity that brings us to the presence of Father God. We can approach the throne through Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, I can go boldly before the throne and say, in the name of Jesus, Father God, this is something that I'm grateful for, or this is something that I request. So I bring my petitions, I bring my heart, my mind to the Father, because Jesus gives me the right to do that. Jesus paid for all my sins. Jesus covered everything. Jesus said, I've named you, I've called you my own. And so we can go to the Father and always giving thanks from our heart. Now remember the previous verse last week was to make music from your heart to the Lord. Do you know, as a parent, there's something musical about your child saying thank you. Being grateful for the things that you've done and the ways that you've cared for them and loved them. And they recognize it and they say, thank you. That's music to the hearts of the parents. And so, do we want to bring music to the Father? And do we want to approach Him with, you know, I recognize that Scripture tells me every good and perfect gift is from the Father, from the one that's not unchanging, the one that's pure and perfect, the one that brings life and light. And I want to be able to say gratefully thank you to the Father for everything good. When I see goodness around me, and it's too easy to see the bad. And as a school teacher, it was too easy to find, hey, there's a problem child here, and if I could just move him away from her, then those two wouldn't at least be interacting negatively with each other. And you try to, you know, part of classroom management was putting people in the right place. But without heart changes, it didn't matter how many people you moved. And if I was just trying to control, then my heart's not in the right place either. The Father loved us so much that He sent His Son and sacrificed His Son so that we could live. The Father does so much for us that it's like if we can't come to Him and say, thank you, I'm grateful for that, then we're not paying attention to everything He's done. The sun is shining today. The rain happened this week. Both of those things are good things. We live in a beautiful location that doesn't have wildfires very often, thankfully. We live in a community in Upper Sky Valley here that doesn't have, to my knowledge, doesn't have any cases of COVID-19. Can we be grateful and thankful for that? It's like, it's hitting people differently. For us, it's an inconvenience of we're going to separate, physical distancing, wear masks. We don't get to see each other as often as we'd like. But even within that, there's been an awful lot of freedom where you can hang out with your family a little bit. You can have small group gatherings. You can, you know, come to a church on a Sunday. And there's things to be grateful for and thankful for. Obviously, there's things to bring as petition as well. Lord, will you give wisdom to the leaders so that they know how to help us get through this? Will you bring healing to the sick? And put a shield around us, just like the face shields and the masks and face coverings and whatnot. Lord, you're the only one that can shield me from colds, flus, viruses, anything else. And if I get it, how do I stay grateful then? You know, because you know, it's not saying in this verse, and if you read all the scripture, you're not going to find, meet Jesus, everything's perfect. Accept Christ, join the church, no problems now. Life goes so rosy for you. That's not in scripture. It does say, in this world you will have problems. But take heart, because Christ says he's overcome the world. He's beaten sin. He's beaten death. He's been victorious over everything. Well, I can be grateful for that. I can be grateful for the fact that even if I get COVID-19 and die, I have a Savior that loves me, that wants to call me to his home. And he's preparing a room in his house for me. There's so much to be thankful for. And it's easy to forget that. It's easy to look at the problems. And I do that too often, right, Kathy? I can spend 10 minutes watching the news and all of a sudden it's like, okay, where did my spirit go? I can hear about all of the looting and rioting in Portland, where our daughter is, and in Seattle, where many of us have family members as well. And it's like, what's going on? What's happening to this world? Where that's not only happening, but it's accepted and then being told that it's okay. And then the responses to that, where you wait, you do nothing. Try that with your kids. You know, don't try to correct or encourage or do anything for their proper behavior for 6 months or a year. And then one day decide, now, today's the day you're going to obey me. How's that going to work out? And that's kind of what we're seeing with the police right now, with all of law enforcement. It's like you can't just let stuff go forever and then decide you're going to bring everything back to order in 1 minute or 1 day. Our hearts are wicked and they're deceitful, and we can rationalize anything. When I read an article in the Washington Post or the New York Times rationalizing why looting is appropriate and okay, this is not coming from some person way out on the fringes. This is from the mainstream. When I read that, I gotta think, did the parents not tell them that two wrongs don't make a right? I mean, I grew up and mom and dad would say, yeah, I'm wrong sometimes. They'd admit that. But that doesn't mean that you can be rude to me. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. And so how can we be thankful for what's going on around us? I can be thankful that my parents raised me in such a way that I do know the difference between right and wrong. I can be thankful that I met a spouse that cares enough about me to tell me when I'm going off track. And if we need to correct one another in marriages, in church bodies, in families, with friends, if your friends don't love you enough to tell you when you're going off the deep end, pick some different friends. Because we need to know when we're starting to stray that there's going to be somebody saying, no, don't go there. It's too easy to be conformed to the world and not transformed by the renewing of our minds with Jesus Christ. And so I'm thankful that we have a God that's given us revelation in written scripture. I'm thankful that we have a God that has given us revelation in creation. I'm thankful that we have a God that gives us revelation with other believers, where we can sharpen one another. We can lift each other up. We can encourage each other to do the right thing. And even when I'm not feeling thankful, I want to be thankful. I want to do that right thing. I want to choose to always give thanks to God the Father for everything. Now that for everything part, start thinking in your mind, are there lists of things that you... No, I'm not going to be thankful for that. Can you come up with stuff that's happened this week, this month, during your lifetime that you're not thankful for, and that there's absolutely no way you'll ever be thankful for that? Because I can. That's a hard word. I need to be thankful to God the Father for everything. My leg's ringing. I'm thankful for that. I don't have to answer it anymore. Our Father has been through more by sacrificing His Son. Jesus has been through more than any of us can ever imagine. When we think we're being put out, inconvenienced, suffering, it doesn't compare to the suffering of Christ. It doesn't compare to the suffering of so many that went before us. As a nation, we lost John Lewis this week. Not a perfect man. I could find all kinds of fault by looking at his words and his deeds during his lifetime. But I can also say that this is a man that tried to do the right thing. And he suffered more than any of us have ever suffered. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was treated basically like Jesus had been treated. Left for dead. Friends brought him to a church. He was revived there and was able to live a much longer life than he thought he had. He thought he'd died on that bridge. How can we be thankful for everything? Some of the things that John Lewis did right was he's continually said he's thankful for that march where his head got beaten in, because he knows that it brought us closer to a land of justice, closer to a land of freedom, closer to a place where all men were created equal. How many of us are willing to go there and recognize that the suffering we go through actually might be helping somebody else? What kind of a reaction do we have to our suffering? Because we can suffer and then go with that two wrongs thing. And it's like, okay, something bad happened to me. I'm going to make sure something bad happens to everybody around me. That's oftentimes our reaction as humans. But with God, we can make music from our hearts to Him and say, Father, I'm grateful that You're still here even while I'm suffering. I'm grateful that in the midst of all of this, You can take all things and work them for good. Even though I don't see it and I don't understand it and I don't know when or how, or even if, to be honest, it's going to happen, I have the promise of God, and He's never failed me before, and every other promise that He's made, He's kept. He's trustworthy. This isn't a forgetful old man that promises to do something for you and then doesn't remember 2 days later. Sovereign God promises you that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I can be grateful for that. He promises that if we go through the water, we won't drown, that if we go through the fire, we won't be burned. And then we look at the examples from Scripture, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown into the fire. Before they go in there, though, they tell the king and all those in authority, our God can save us. But even if He doesn't, we don't value you or your gods. We're going to do the right thing. And then we can be thankful and grateful when God does take us through the fire. But if He chooses not to, because there's been a lot of martyrs over the years, somehow there's still a way to, in everything, always give thanks to the Father. Another place in Scripture, 1 Thessalonians. If you want to look at that in your Bibles, it's page 1806. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 16, rejoice always. Pray continually. There's some of those words, always and continually and in everything. And it's like, when God gives a command, He doesn't say, rejoice when you feel like it. Pray if it's convenient. It's rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. I like the way that one's worded better instead of in everything. In all circumstances. Okay, yeah, these are terrible circumstances. I'm not going to thank you, God, for these circumstances. But in these circumstances, I can thank you. And I know that we can kind of use that and rationalize, okay. But this one in Ephesians still says, always give thanks to God the Father for everything, not just in everything. Why would we give thanks in all circumstances? Why would we rejoice always? Why would we continually pray? It's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's got a plan, He's got a purpose, He's got a will. And He's given us the ability to live a life in Christ. That in itself should be enough reason to give thanks. I'm going to sneak one more in that's not on the overhead. Philippians chapter 4. Page 1795 in the Pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 4 and starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. I wonder how many times in Scripture we're commanded to rejoice. Just do it. Be happy. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Again, if you want to diffuse a situation rather than escalate violence, demonstrating gentleness is one way to do it. And I cannot tell you that I know or have mastered any of that. I do know that there's been experiences I've had where a kid was coming at me with a knife. And I had been warned by other staff members at this group home where we were working that this child was violent. He was out of control. It would take 3 or 4 people to contain him. And he's coming at me. And I could respond with fear and anger and violence. Or I could respond differently. And thankfully that day, I'm not telling you every time I've had situations like that, I responded well. But that day, I was able to catch Wally by the hand that had the knife and hold it tight enough that he dropped the knife. And I got his other hand, and I had him in a basket hold. And he cussed and swore and yelled at me and screamed at me as he leaned into me. And I know that Wally was thankful. for somebody taking control, because he was out of control and he knew it. And if you've ever been out of control in anger and lashing out at others, it's not fun. People don't enjoy doing that. And the loving thing to do is find a way to peacefully, gently, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. God will protect you as you're being gentle with others and bringing them into a situation of control. And I'm not going to tell you it works every single time. And I'm not going to tell you that my mind is in the right place every time. But when Scripture says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, there's that anything and everything and always and continually. Those words are in Scripture a lot. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only do that if we're walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, letting the song of our heart sing out to God, I'm so glad you're here in this situation because I don't have any answers. I can't control what's going on even around me, let alone within me. And yet, here you are, Father. You sacrificed your Son. You're willing to go the extra mile. You're going to do whatever it takes to make things right. I can be grateful for that. And as I close, I want you to remember that in this pandemic, God's still in control. So we can find different ways to react, and even the same people can react in different ways. Church leadership at Grace Community Church in California, John MacArthur's a pastor there. Church leadership is coming under fire from both sides. Some saying they never should have given in and listened to the government and stayed home in the first place. Others saying that they should just listen now and go back home. Leadership at Grace Community Church made a decision to listen to the leadership. They knew that it was their First Amendment right to still meet. They understood all that. They weren't relinquishing the authority to government. But they knew that there's also, if there's any way we can keep one another safe, if there's any way that we can prevent the spread of this deadly disease, let's do that. Let's listen to the experts and let's do our best. And they did that, and they'd been closed for a few months. And then as they started to reopen, the governor is saying, nope, we're going to shut you down again. And same leadership, same scripture, they know how to find the verses that say, you know, obey the higher authorities, honor those that are put into leadership positions. They understand all that, but they also understand that we'll follow God rather than man. And so the same leadership this time is saying, you know, we're doing everything we can to stop the spread. We're doing everything we can to physically distance and wear masks. And we're doing all the things that we can to safely be together. But do you know that churches are an essential service? That's where the real argument starts lying. And it's like if you shut down community, if you shut down family for too long, it becomes irreparable. And so they're saying, you know, we're going to honor to the best of our ability the reality that we're facing, and yet we're not going to shut the church down again. And we'll see where that goes. I know that they're getting attacked from both sides. And that's, I guess, part of leadership. That's what happens when you have to make decisions that affect other people. I love that scripture speaks to that as well. Again, in everything, giving thanks, always. Because in Romans 14, there's this argument that Paul lays out about, you know, some people think that you should eat meat and it's okay, it's just meat, not a big deal. And other people say, no, it's been offered sacrifice to idols, and so you shouldn't eat it, even if it maybe was, because you're not sure if it was or not, because it's being sold in the meat market. So it's like, okay. And Paul just, he lays it out there, and it's like, you know, whether we're talking about meat, eating it or not eating it, whether we're talking about celebrating certain days or not celebrating certain days. Some people saw holidays as holy and exciting, and some say, no, every day to God is holy. And there's all these different thoughts and examples of the way people can approach life. And in Romans 14, he says, you know what's important? Have the right attitude between you and God. It's pretty much between you and God. Don't judge your brother or sister for eating or not eating. Don't judge your brother or sister for celebrating or not celebrating certain holidays. Let's cut each other a whole lot more slack, is what the Bible says. Let's love each other, recognizing that we're going to have differences, and that's okay. But let's find ways to just be grateful that we have a God that's going to sort it all out eventually. And if my mind and my conscience is right with God, and your mind and your conscience is right with God, but we disagree with each other, where's the important element there? It's God. I'm right with God. You feel like you're right with God. You know what? I'm not here to judge you. You're not here to judge me. Scripture talks a lot about that, by the way. I think too many of us think that we need to be fruit inspectors. You know, we're going to find out, well, you know, you're not demonstrating very good fruit. You know, your life doesn't show what I think it should show. And we can come up with lists of rules, and if you can follow those rules, you're on the in crowd, and if you can't follow them, you're out. And it's like, that's called religion, by the way. And we all have a tendency to do that, whether we call ourselves that or not. How many of us in our minds have looked at somebody and thought, well, they're not being very polite? No? Nobody else. Just me. Okay. So it's one of those things where, I mean, we can easily look at other people and say, yeah, I'm sure glad I'm not like them. There's even an example of that in Scripture, by the way. This guy's praying, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that gentleman over there. And he's just so full of himself that he's not approaching the throne with gratefulness and thankfulness. He's approaching the throne with, I'm more worthy than he is. Now, don't tell me you've never thought that yourself. I mean, we are so haughty that we go to God and we tell him what he should do. It's like, Lord, I've got some advice for you.
I know that some people call this prayer. It's like, okay, really what I'm doing, Lord, is telling you these are the things you haven't quite gotten right yet. And I've got a solution and I can help you, Lord. And if we're approaching the throne that way, are we always giving thanks to God the Father for everything? Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, for your willingness to love us when you fully know us. Amen.